This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody.
Hey, hey there, it's Yogi Bear.
What's happening, everyone?
A yuck.
Did you just do a yuck, like a goofy a yuck?
I was trying not to splatter my coffee.
Oh, okay. Don't do that. It looks very unseemly.
Oh, no, this is not how we cultured people behave.
No,
apologize profusely.
You are way more thoughtful about these kinds of things than any of us, so yes.
Sia, the sun hasn't risen yet. Do what you want.
Is that the rule?
The general rule of life.
Is that it?
Until okay. The sun rises, take your pants off,
run around,
set things on fire.
Oh, then I would have lost my marbles ages ago on the show.
Hey, listen. Got a lot to talk about today. We got that Australian cricket cheating, I know Ben has got plenty to say about. We've got to talk about Facebook. Man, they are in such shit.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't even get into it, but did you see that whole thing with Snapchat?
Which one?
The Chris Brown Rihanna thing?
I think we did.
We might have discussed it, but did you actually? No, did you hear what actually happened? Someone at Snapchat. Kind of executive level decided they'd put up a quiz.
Yeah,
you know, you have these quizzes where you're like, do you like my dress? Yes, no, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah,
and
mm-hmm.
Everybody votes. I've got them on Instagram as well. So Snapchat had this one. Would you rather slap Rihanna or punch Chris Brown? And I mean, what a dumb question to ask. And then, of course, that was why Rihanna did what she did, because we all heard the story from there on. We didn't actually hear the reason. You know, I hate that. Like, when you see someone has been banned from Twitter or something, but they don't explain why they've been banned. Like, that's the whole reason anyone wants to know whether they've been banned or not, is you got to explain why. So then after that, Rihanna went on and said, it's not funny to joke about domestic violence. And
sure.
That was when they started tanking, and you know, Snapchat shares are like, dog shit at the moment.
And now all of her celebrity friends are also
Bitcoin and Snapchat. Yeah, all of them.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, the Kylie Jenner had said the week before that she's over Snapchat, so they're in big trouble. Anyway, I suppose. Look, I told you 2 years ago, don't waste your time with Snapchat, because Instagram have taken all the coolest things out of Snapchat and made them part of their app.
Exactly. Mm.
So what do you want? I mean, the only reason, like CS said, I think it was you who said it a while ago, they've got cool filters and that's it. But I mean, unless you're a 15-year-old girl, you'll be fine. You'll live.
Yeah.
Life's tough for 15-year-old girls.
Jesus. How exactly?
Well, because you've got to choose the right filter. Like, if you're an adult person, if you're over 25 and you're worrying about the dog filter or the big bug eye filter or any of those, if you're over 25 and you're still doing all of that stuff, I'll give you 3 strikes, okay? But then after that, you're out.
Yeah, you need to reassess your life slightly.
Well, it's just, it's appropriate. It's age appropriate. It's like playing with Barbie dolls if you're 9. It's age appropriate for girls in their teens to mess around with filters like that. Anybody?
But Gareth, it gets likes. That's all that life is about.
Life is not about that. I met someone over the weekend who has never...
You are so naive.
Yeah, all right. I met someone over the weekend who's never been on social media.
Oh.
And they do exist.
Did you beat them to the ground and cast spells on them?
No, it was amazing. I was blown away. I quizzed them for like an hour. I was like, tell me how this works. Tell me how you do that.
They never had social media. They got it and tried it. And
they're not like wacky, homeschooled Amish people or anything like that. They're normal. These are normal, well-adjusted people.
Tell me that you can't trust them.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think you can't.
They're after something.
You think so?
How old are they?
The husband is 38.
Oh, it's a couple? And they both haven't?
Yeah, they both haven't. And they're not weird. I promise you they're not weird at all. They're actually really interesting people. Like, they've got a life. They just don't care about social media. They're not interested. They've got WhatsApp. That's what they've got.
What business are they in? Or what industry or career?
I don't know. He's like an auditor. She's also professional. I'm not sure what they do. I don't. The last thing I want to know is what you know. If you're give me a business title, it's like 8 words long, and I'm out.
And they just never got into the wave of
it. She explained she's like a business analyst, It had 10 words. I can't remember it.
Chief Operating Analytics for the division under strategy.
Facilitation.
That's it.
Marketing.
You guys have got the, that's the drift. I was like, you don't get away with that. If you have to describe, if you can't say I'm a plumber, I'm a doctor, I'm a scientist.
What are you, Gareth? When they say, "What are you?"
But I suppose I own my own business. Businessman. There we go. One word.
Okay.
Businessman.
Am I not? I got my own business here. What do we got? What are we doing? And how would you describe yourself?
No, I would expect you to use the word businessman because you know the connotation around that.
It's boring.
What would you expect? Media proprietor.
I was just waiting for Gareth to use a lot of words through his own theory.
No, I got it. Okay, so I fucked you on that one, Ben. What's yours?
Businessman.
What's yours?
I just told you.
Yeah, all right. That's a great hold all. You just copied me. You uncreative shithead. All right.
Oh, Jesus. I was actually going to go with creative shithead because that's all I pretty much have.
You creative shithead, you
that
are.
Looks Listen, so good on an email signature.
Ben had the best weekend in terms of, like, you talk about social media interaction. You were busy, man. I watched you. I was just watching what was going on there with Ben. It was fascinating.
That cricket series has been the most exciting thing to hit social media ever.
Do you reckon this is going to go down as one of the most talked about, for want of a better word, the most talked about tests ever? Because of all the stuff around it, Warner's wife.
This whole series has been like nothing has been like this in our lifetime.
Huh?
Like you'll look back to the stage of Bodyline. That was long time ago.
Yeah.
That was a big deal.
Right.
Obviously, Hunsy cheating and then crying and then dying. But, I mean, this is it. This, as the series goes, you could not cram anything more into this.
It's great.
Plus, we still got one test match to go in the most hot-tempered of places, the Wanderers. The only place in the world where there's a tunnel to get onto the field. Jeez, and they're going to need it, the Aussies.
That's so cool. They must be absolutely desperate to get back home.
So desperate.
They must hate themselves right now.
But we'll get into it in the sport. But, I mean, a lot of these people, their careers could be finished. Not like as in you're not banned for life, but who's going to ever trust these guys ever again? They are so tarnished. It's so bad.
Somebody says here, Mark Bland, who does the queue here, followed them on Twitter last night. I now know how Ben feels the way he does about Gary Player. Sure. Yeah, that's a biggie. Well, Bland, yeah. He's not a nobody. It's a good one.
Well, guys, can I tell you, if we're talking about biggies in a weird way, this weekend.
All right, let's go see her.
So I have a friend who...
By the way, if you're wondering where my Bali is, she's got other work commitments with her other job, which she told me about on Friday, and I completely forgot. All right. So, sorry. That's why she's not here. If you're wondering why, Mubs is not sitting there quietly.
So I have a friend who's in PR, and she was working over the weekend, but she said, you know what, actually, I'm involved in this cool event on Saturday night. You should come and join me. And I thought, what's this all about? I really don't want to make the effort. She says, oh, no, it's just a great sit-down dinner. Come and join me. And I thought, okay, cool, fine. And she just tells me that it's this doctor who's now launching a new center in Hyde Park, and they're doing a little celebration.
Oh, I got an invite to something like that. That's Dr...
Oh, so you know already who it is.
Like Amway.
No.
Does actually.
So she goes by the name of Dr. P, and I didn't know what was going on. And I went there, and already just getting to the venue, and it looked quite swanky, but they take me up to the practices. They're trying to sell me Botox treatments and laser treatments, and I thought, okay, well, it's quite a swanky practice. They're like throws while you're waiting in the consultation rooms, and there's a champagne bar there, and I'm thinking, who is this doctor if you have this much money to open a practice? Then they go, oh, no, this is not where the dinner's happening. I thought, oh, really? And they said, no, let's whisk you downstairs. And as we walk in, they've converted essentially part of the parking lot in the Hyde Park shopping center into this tented situation.
Sorry. Did they offer you Botox, genuinely, at your age? They were like...
No, genuinely though, they were talking about the pros of it now and how
there's got to be a law against
it. It works better, and prevention is better than cure and whatnot. But I was loving it.
All right, so come on, spill the beans.
And well, I need to paint the picture properly because already the champagne bar in the consultation room is one thing.
Right.
Then they take us downstairs and they don't make us walk. As we get to the venue, they have these golf carts, which are branded Dr. P in gold. And I thought, this is
a biggie.
Really something going on. As we get to the entrance, we walk into this tent, and then I recognize this man standing next to this lady identified as the doctor. And for the life of me, I couldn't remember who he is, but his face definitely looked familiar.
Yes.
And so, like, I nudge this lady standing next to me, like, hey, by the way, who is that? And she goes, oh, don't you know Robert Gumede? And I'm like, what is going on? So it's actually Robert Gumede who hosted this.
Right.
Who's the billionaire.
Yes.
And his wife is the doctor. Now has opened this whole new practice. But I thought, like, what is Robert's deal exactly? Like, was he ever involved in anything bad? Or are they genuinely just a hardworking couple? Because, I mean, the way champagne was flowing that night, the way Mafikizolo was serenading us during meals, like, it was... I've never seen that much over-the-topness, for lack of a better term, in my life.
But that's great, because you know how many people are going to be going there, right? For the over-the-topness. This is what people love. We've discovered that there may be a bottom end of the market where you price too low and everybody rushes in, but there is absolutely no top end of the market. Not in this country.
Where 23-year-olds are offered Botox and you can have champagne while you're waiting for your consultation as well.
But we have people in South Africa who have so much money. Mm. Really. Just so much money.
When you hear about all of these things...
And they'll spend on this, trust me.
Oh, yeah.
You watch.
And everyone's complaining about tough times and, the economy. People are casually talking about how, I was in the U.S. last week to congratulate my friend. I'm like, oh, okay. So you flew there just for a couple of days and you're back here now and you're in a golf cart with us.
Yeah. But you see, this is... There are a lot of people who would love to have... They want to have this star treatment. They want to go into a doctor's rooms and be treated like they're a princess. They want to have, someone with a fan and someone with fruit. And then they want this expensive, luxurious place where they can... I mean, it's just incredible. It really is. And what a good idea to be doing something like this, because this is going to be... her name is Portia Mkhize.
Yes.
Portia Gumede Mkhize. And she's the doctor. And I'm sure she's very good. And watch this place. It'll take off. It'll do very well. You know, they say the rich keep getting richer.
Yeah.
Well, this is how.
I just want to be a fly on the wall then to see what sort of people walk in. I actually, like, kept the treatment list. I was looking at the prices, like, okay.
Are they hardcore prices?
They're quite intense, yeah.
Really?
And the procedures as well. You know, they do this thing called a vampire face treatment.
I've had one of those before.
Have you?
Jesus.
Isn't it quite an intense situation? Because they pull blood out of you.
Yeah, no. You're meant to... I didn't have the full thing.
Because
you're meant to actually go to the clinic and they draw blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they take like a vial of blood and then they spin out all the platelets or whatever it is.
Yes.
And they use your own blood serum once they've made the holes in your face, which they do. And they needle you.
Wow.
No, it's hectic. It's a whole thing. I didn't do the whole getting blood drawn thing. So there are other ways to do it, but the proper way is they actually do that. Then they spin in a centrifuge and get your blood all purified and then put back on your face afterwards. And they swear it works. They
can't believe this.
They say it works like you can't believe.
They now can do liposuction in a consult, not a consulting room, but a doctor's room.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't have to be booked out for a whole day going to hospital.
That's right.
You know all of these Santon housewives will be there.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
And you know what? More power to them. If you've got all that money, if you've got just piles and piles of money and you've got such a boring life that you need to fill your day with facials and hair blow dries and what do they call them? Nail treatments and pedicures and manicures and all that. If you've got all that time, good for you. Power to you. I don't have any issue with that. Good.
Mm.
Spend your money. Get it back into the economy. Anyway, how was your weekend?
Yo, other than that, everything else just failed in comparison.
Yeah, I didn't do what Steer did. Watched the second Hobbit movie. Really good. Yeah? See, I thought the Hobbit was just going to be like an after thing just for the people who read the books, but the movies are actually great.
Yeah, you...
Really good.
You've gone down a path now. You're going to have to watch them all.
Which
and you're
is
gonna, you're going to enjoy them. You get into it. It's like a bit of an escapism, a fantasy. You know?
But like that second Hobbit movie, there's the dragon, right?
Yes.
It makes the dragon look like street dogs from Game of Thrones. Like Khaleesi's dragons look like threadbare mutts compared to the dragon on Hobbit.
Yeah. That's a proper...
Wow.
That's a monster.
So you know those three movies... cost $624 million. Those three movies alone. The first Hobbit movie grossed over $1 billion. I don't know what the other ones did.
Jesus, that's money.
But they're really huge, and the way they're put together, like, I almost feel like when you watch The Lord of the Rings 3, it's going to be almost anticlimactic because they're not going to be as good. I mean, I remember they're good movies and all, and because you get the backstory, it'll be a different sort of take on the movies, but they're really good.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Go The Hobbit.
All right. Nice, you're into it.
I didn't expect to actually enjoy
this. I watched a movie this weekend. I watched Thor.
Nice.
What's the word? Ragnarok.
Ragnarok.
You know, I find myself like laughing out loud. There are a couple of conversations that happen in there that are just hilarious. They've got Jeff Goldblum in it, for God's sake.
But that's what these superhero movies have become.
It's so funny.
Like, they've got to have that dark adult humor now.
I don't know if maybe that started with Marvel, or maybe it started with Guardians of the Galaxy. Because Guardians is like that, right? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, also, like, The Watchmen was a very dark superhero movie.
That's also a good point.
And, of course, Deadpool, what they're doing now, they've taken to, like, even further level.
I love Deadpool. Oh, man. But anyway, this Thor is just so cool. Because they introduced this new character, and she is badass. She's probably the most evil bitch I've ever seen in a show.
Wow. Oh,
yeah, it's very good. It's worth having a look at.
That's
Thor Ragnarok. Yeah, very, very good. I mean, any movie you got the Thor guy. What's his name? Which brother is he?
I think it's Chris Hemsworth.
Which one is he? Liam or Chris? I can never... See, you would know.
I think it's Chris, because I think Liam is under the spell of Miley Cyrus.
Oh, okay, so it's Chris Hemsworth. He's funny
under
as hell. He's really funny.
Yeah.
And I mean, Anthony Hopkins is the dad.
Yes.
You know, Odin. Yes. He doesn't last very long.
Oh.
And then it's just a great movie. I you know what? I understand why these movies have become the big thing, because it's an explosion of special effects. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's a proper escape kind of thing. Whenever I go on a overseas plane trip, I try to watch a movie like that. Because it just adds to the whole thing about you flying somewhere distant. And
yeah, it's super exciting. I love that stuff. I absolutely love it. And I'm not a Fast and Furious guy. I've never seen any of those.
Yeah.
But I could see why people like them. You know, the same way I like these superhero movies. I do love a good superhero movie. I really do. Is he on Skype or on the phone?
Phone.
All right, let me just go to... We've got someone on the phones here. Hey, Rob, good morning, man.
Morning, Gareth.
What's up, dude?
I've got to go to the dentist today, so it could be quite a day.
Use your words. What are you talking about?
I've got to go to the dentist.
Yeah? What's wrong with your teeth?
They're falling out? They're a bit sharp.
Oh.
And I could need a bit of a cleaning.
They're sharp? You mean like they need to be ground down?
Or I could need a filling, one of the teeth.
Oh, you mean they could be cracked?
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, I've plugged some of my teeth not to be cracked, but... But once they start, they don't stop.
You tell your teeth not to be cracked.
Yeah.
Rob, how many teeth have you got in your head?
32.
Have you counted them just before you go to the dentist to make sure that you don't come back with less?
I count them every day just to make sure I don't lose any.
Okay, now you actually emailed us. You wanted to talk about Stephen Hawking?
Absolutely, yes. It's just that I'm not quite clear on string theory. And I was thinking I could ask you about it. Because what is your basic understanding of string theory?
I don't know the first thing about string theory.
Okay, then basically, everything in space-time is not the fixed points of particles, of particle physics. You're saying that they can exist on about 10 different frequencies in long, long strings that's how matter exists. But there's one catch. Do you know the catch?
No.
That we can only exist on this one frequency of matter, and there's absolutely no way to go to other frequencies of matter. So it's a hyperstack of theoretical impossibilities to verify.
So in other words, is this a little bit like that whole parallel universe idea?
Yeah, there are, but the parallel universes, there's some people thinking it could be billions and billions of parallel universes. But the only,
so
like
do
no
you do you reckon that the Rob Nicolai in the parallel universe, or one of the parallel universes, that he has more teeth in his head than you have?
I think he'll definitely get more chicks.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Well, you seem to know about string theory. Doesn't that get you laid?
You would think it does, but surprisingly not. Most chicks are unimportant. They just want to talk about shoes and hair.
Yeah, well, listen. You were dating a much older woman once, weren't you?
Several, yes.
Yeah.
It was a slow Tuesday.
Yeah, you used to pick up chicks somewhere at like the old age home or something? Where was it?
At the retirement center.
Right.
And I wanted to get me some Silver Fox.
Right, and you apparently were quite a hit with the ladies there. You had your pick of which of the old birds you could have first, right?
Yeah, sometimes more than one at the same time.
Mm-hmm. At the same time?
Yes. The Silver Foxes, they like to get their kink on.
Now, that's interesting to me. So these older women, they were keen to have a younger. How old are you now?
40.
Okay, so they were for them. You're like a spring chicken, right? And they were gonna get on with this toy boy of theirs. So
yeah, I'm like half of the two of them.
Right. So you're talking about 80-year-old women here.
Yes.
Can they still?
You know, it's true what they say. They can teach. They can teach young people who don't know much.
Right.
Thing or two.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that these, and they know what they want, and they've got lots of experience. Blah blah blah. Right.
And they're surprisingly open to lesbianism.
So are you saying, when you say two women at the same time, are you talking about like two 80-year-old ladies in the bed with you at once?
Or the hot tub, yeah.
Oh, my God, Rob. You are something else. You're a Lothario.
Yeah. I'm Lex Lothario.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What do you talk about with them? The Rinderpest?
The Great Trek.
Yeah.
The First World War.
Uh-huh.
Barbara Bush,
do you talk about that at all?
No, Barbara doesn't like when I talk about her bush.
Oh, wow. You're making this up, Rob. You're telling me the truth, right?
Always, yes. Mm.
Wow, very exciting.
I'm like a modern day Abe Lincoln.
Who's the oldest woman you've ever been with, Rob?
That would be Cleopatra.
No, you're messing with me. Come on. Is there an old lady called Cleopatra in that retirement village?
Yeah, there is. And she liked to do the Egyptian style.
All right, thank you. All right, Rob, thanks.
We're done.
We're running low on material with you this morning. There we go. Rob Nicolai, everybody.
Yeah.
He's calling us from, hey, listen, the guy, he gets his fun.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody gets his fun.
He's doing him, as they say.
That's right. You have to do your thing, right?
I'm wearing a needle J.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Mm.
Haven't used that word
in a while. How many whippersnappers do you have work for you?
Mm.
Negligee.
I'm wearing a negligee.
Mm.
All right. By the way, this morning we got Celejo, who's going to stand in for Anthea. Mm-hmm. Mubs is not here, so we'll be checking in on the news ourselves, getting the five things we need to note this morning. Ben's got some sports. Sia's got Said by Sia. We got a busy first hour this morning. Hey, when it comes to innovation, Cliff Central is at the forefront of great technology. That's why we created these Cliff Central unwired earphones. Everybody's talking about earphones. Everywhere I go at the moment, everybody's comparing earphones and headphones, and some people have those big headsets on. Now, don't take our word for it. Before you go and buy a pair of these, just read the Stuff magazine review. They said, if you're a podcast fan, you should have a pair already, and perhaps a spare in the car, based on the price alone. That's right, they're only 550 Rand each. You can get them on Take A Lot, you can get them at cliffcentral.com. Any way you like, they are very, very cool. And I know this because we had a hand in designing them, in putting them together. They really are superb. Cliff Central unwired earphones, they connect to any smartphone, any laptop, any tablet. You can listen to podcasts, music, videos. You can even take phone calls. And with over 10 hours of battery life, built-in microphone, three-button controller, and an ergonomic design that doesn't fall out of your ears when exercising. Because you get those little attachments, you know, little skins and those sort of things that help you hook them onto your ear properly. Then they won't fall out. You need to try those. Plus, brilliant sound and build quality. The Cliff Central unwired earphones are the perfect match to your favorite podcasts. That's it. Best of all, they're just, how much?
550.
Say it again.
550 Rand.
That's amazing. Discover it all by visiting cliffcentral.com today. What? I can't hear you. I've got my earphones in.
Okay.
Could you believe the amount of water we had? Last week's rain was unbelievable. I don't think I've ever seen the kind of flooding I saw around where I live. Just rivers.
Is that river in front of you
spilling
still?
Spilling over their banks. It was still going last night.
There
must
have been like cattle and cars coming down that river.
It sounded like the sea. You know how you, when you live at the beach, if you live anywhere near the coast,
well,
you can hear you can hear the sea rolling and those waves crashing. It sounded like that the whole weekend at my house. It was just this constant whoosh in the background. Kept thinking, jeez, what was that? And then I'd click, oh, of course, it's the river. The river was, it was 8 meters wide. It's usually like 2 meters wide.
How crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. There was water everywhere. I'm still getting over it.
Yeah, just tried my best not to look at any news stories or to find out about any trauma, hectic stories that happened of people being washed away or
whatnot.
No,
we don't want that, yeah.
Yeah, but you can't help but think about cases.
It's everywhere, right? Mm. I mean, whenever this happens, there are people who are in the front lines. They get taken down. All right, a couple of stories that you need to know about this morning. They're going to talk about the national minimum wage. I don't know why anyone would want a minimum wage, but it seems our government's hell-bent on this. Mildred Olyphant, who's the Minister of Labour, she's been around for a long time. She's expected to update the media on the progress made regarding the national minimum wage bill. Why you would ever want the low-hanging fruit of a lowest minimum wage is beyond me. I understand that everyone should have dignified, decent work, but the amount you get paid isn't dignified, decent work. And if you believe in the market, and a lot of people in this country don't, like Jesse Duarte, you gotta let people earn whatever they're prepared to accept. It's a free deal. You come along, I say to Ben, all right, Ben, I want you to do this. Here's how much I'm prepared to pay you. Ben goes, okay, or he goes, no. That's how it works. It's not like any, there's no coercion or slavery taking place here. And if the market doesn't have a bottom, we live in a country where, 20-odd million people don't have work?
Yeah.
They can't get work, and you're going to stop them from getting work with your stupid minimum wage? What is with these politicians? I can't stand this discussion. And it drives me crazy when you have a bunch of political ideologues hop on board. And they go, well, we should have a minimum wage because it guarantees people dignified work. What you get paid is not what makes it dignified work. You couldn't pay me enough money to empty those rubbish bins with the juice at the bottom. There's no amount of money I'd be prepared to take for that. So to me, dignified work is in the job itself. It's not in the money. We all have to do things we don't like.
Oh, yeah.
Most people hate their jobs, right?
A lot.
Yeah. Even people who get paid a lot of money. So don't give me this national minimum wage crap. And our government agonizing about this. It's like their big thing. Oh, what if we put it up 400 Rand or we take off 20 Rand? I mean, it's insulting. It's insulting that you look at us all as this blank canvas that you can just paint a number on and we'll be happy with you.
But that's their plan, though, is to kind of...
Well, that's social engineering, aren't they?
Exactly.
Anyway. All right, so there we go. There's the proposed minimum wage. And you can just see, you know, all these socialists going gaga about this. They think it's great because they actually want everyone to be paid a minimum wage. And they want the government to be the ones who decide what you should get paid. It's outrageous. No need to panic about land, says Ace Magashule. But then anything Ace Magashule says, you should look at with suspicion. It's just crazy. And by the way, a big weather update. Mpumalanga and Limpopo are expecting severe thunderstorms this weekend, this week. So just be braced for that. Get ready. Mpumalanga and Limpopo. What do you got in the news here? Throw anything in?
Well, let us look at what the polls show. Well, now, after this whole Facebook hoobla, mm-hmm. polls show that Facebook is actually losing trust as the firm uses ads to apologize. So there were all of these polls that were done after this entire scandal. And just yesterday in the US and Germany, it indicated that a majority of the public were losing trust in Facebook over piracy. Well, welcome to the bandwagon, folks. Yeah. Now, this firm ran adverts in British and US newspapers apologizing to users. Well, a little too late, I think. Fewer than half of Americans trust Facebook to obey US privacy laws, according to this poll released on Sunday, while a survey published by another company showed that Germany's largest selling Sunday paper found 60% of Germans fear that Facebook and other social networks are having a negative impact on democracy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw that, I don't know if you saw this over the weekend too, but Elon Musk has deleted SpaceX and Tesla's Facebook pages, axing more than 5 million followers by doing that. And Elon Musk said quite clearly then, they've never advertised with Facebook. None of my companies, he said, buy advertising or pay people, famous people, to fake endorse. Product lives or dies on its own merits. He refuses to do that. Doesn't use influencers, doesn't use Facebook. I mean, this is like every ad agency in South Africa, this is their whole plan, is let's buy Facebook advertising and Google ads and influences.
Yep, pretty much. Let's boost
And that's, look at you stupid motherfuckers. You've got nothing. Now, Elon Musk says you've got nothing.
What is that? Is that a power move? Like for him to show support and saying,
no,
screw Facebook?
Like, look, first of all, Facebook is hugely vulnerable at the moment because of this whole mess with Cambridge Analytica and everything else. Second of all, Elon Musk does not like anyone with a brain, Mark Zuckerberg. He's a creep. And I've been telling you about this for the longest time, and now he's decided I've had enough. And so while Zuckerberg is busy dealing with this whole Cambridge Analytica thing, he's losing a lot of support from people like Elon Musk. And if you asked me in a fight who I'd back, Iron Man or the nerd, I'd go with Iron Man.
Well, that's Robert Downey Jr., but yeah.
You get my idea. And then someone says, this is now on Twitter, someone goes, Elon Musk, I was always following the live feed of SpaceX and Facebook. Why did you delete it? You need to use Facebook with common sense and your profile is okay then. I don't even know what, like, people who can't speak English shouldn't be able to type in English on Facebook or Twitter. And then Elon Musk goes, you'll live.
Yeah, because you will. Just get over
you'll
it.
Live. Yeah. So there we go. Let this be the first of many. I hope everybody runs away from Facebook land. Just get out of there. It's a disaster.
It's going to be a game changer.
Yeah. So this is the first shots have been fired. Let's see what happens. All right. Should we turn our attention to Ben and see what's going on in the sport? Or do you want to check in on cryptocurrency quickly? Which do you prefer? Ben, what do you feel like? You want to go to the crypto first or you want to do
you Gareth, first? Let's do that.
All right. So everybody's been talking about this. We've got Run coming in soon. He's going to have to talk. Ron's got a lot of talking to do. We need to know what's happened there. Anthea always said there's a heap of shit, and now we know it's true. All right, so here it is. First of all, Bitcoin is at $8,431.91. Ethereum is currently at $521.20. And the others you don't really need to know. It's all bad news. it's just not going back to the levels that we all hoped it would. And March has been a horrendous month for cryptocurrencies. Okay, Ben, over to you. Let's go into the sport and see what's going on over there. And man, do we have a lot to talk about in the sport this morning. So much. Take it away, Ben.
Well, if you're not watching this South Africa versus Australia test series, you've got to ask yourself, what are you really doing with your life? Like, it's that good. And don't tell me, I don't like cricket. Cricket's boring. It's not. It's the most exciting thing happening in sport right now for so many different reasons. Whether you like, I don't know, adultery, blatant cheating, good sports, good versus evil fights.
Adultery.
Soppy old white business. Yeah. It's got everything. It's got everything and more. Now, we all knew the Newlands test was going to be brilliant. Firstly, it doesn't rain, so you get 5 days of cricket straight up.
Nice.
Also, the pitch is brilliant. There's just something about the groundsman there, or whatever it is, drought conditions, the pitch there is great. It gives you something for bat and ball. That's exactly what we got in the first 2 days, bat and ball. Teams were up, teams were down, so much is happening. Then, Darren Lehman, that sort of Jabba the Hutt-looking guy who's the coach of the Aussies, he then had the temerity to say, the fans are a disgrace, because they were like mouthing off to the players, whatever. Morne Morkel, who took 300 wickets this last weekend, said, well, when we go to Australia, you wouldn't believe what we get like told, because they're rough there. They're rough. They're so rough. So everyone's laughing at him for these double standards and hypocrisy. But then to make matters worse, and I couldn't believe it before my very eyes, they then decided to cheat and tamper with the ball. So what happens in Test cricket is that if you're the youngest, most inexperienced player, you've got to field short leg, which means basically you're standing up the arse of the batsman with a helmet on, just in case you can catch like a ball that comes off his bat right there. But now, to Australia take it further, the junior inexperienced guy has to also cheat for the whole team. So what happened was that this Bancroft guy, he had some sticky tape / sandpaper, it was a rough paper in his pocket. So what he would do is, now, when you get the new ball in cricket, it's great because it's hard and shiny and it swings and it seams, because the seam, as it's the ground, will deviate. And, of course, the shiny sides make it go laterally in the air. Once that kind of goes away and the ball becomes a bit old, like Darren Lehman's balls, then at around 40 overs, they need to do work on the ball. So you'll always see cricketers with red marks on their pants. It's not just because they've got something really bad happening in their middle area. It's because they're shining the red leather ball. Now, what the shine does is that you get the rough side and the smooth side. The smooth side then swings towards that direction. That's reverse swing. Okay. So every team tries to get reverse swing. Not every team tries to cheat as much as the Aussies, though. So Bancroft had this abrasive substance in his pocket. He then made contact with the ball. But this guy, this is the thing. Either he's very stupid, very brazen, or both. Probably both, because that's what bogan culture is in Australia. Mostly dumb, they just don't know what they're doing. So he roughed the ball up, but SuperSport's cameramen, of which there are like 30 on this, you can't pick your nose anymore in Test cricket. You can't scratch your balls. You can't even say untoward things. The cameras will find out, okay? This is a common knowledge thing as well. So this gets picked up. It gets shown on the big screens. Everyone starts cheering and shouting. Darren Lehman, the coach, then sees this. Walkie-talkies to the substitute fielder, Peter Hanscom, on the side of the field. Hanscom then goes onto the field and says, "Oi, mate, you've been bust." He then takes Bancroft, then takes the rough surface, and he puts it down his jocks. But at the same time, he's still on the field, so everyone still sees him doing this.
Oh, my God. So you've been caught out, and then you've been caught out being caught out.
Exactly. So, but it's such a massive... Everyone's in on it, because the coach is seeing this. He's been... Why these guys have a walkie-talkie anyway? They shouldn't be allowed these such things, these criminals. So then the umpires say, it's been reported that you've got some sort of contraband on your person. So what does he do? He pulls out this black sunglass case, material that you hold sunglasses in. He's not wearing sunglasses, so there's a red flag. And he lies to the umpire saying, "Oh no, I was just touching the... I was just smoothing the ball with my smooth cloth over here." And they're like... okay, we're the ICC. We don't ask very difficult questions to you. And then that's it. So, but everyone saw it. And well done, SuperSport and their producers. They did a great job in exposing this cheat for what he is. Then these two dickheads, Steve Smith, the captain, and Bancroft, get to the press conference. And they talk it through. Like, "Yeah, sorry, we made a mistake. No biggie." Steve Smith admits the entire team, after the lunch session, had a plan that they were going to try and cheat to get back into the game. Jeez. They actually said that much. Steve Smith, they went on to say that, well, he kind of made a mistake, and it was like a small millennial spoiled brat, basically saying to his parents, yeah, I've been selling coke on the side, and yeah, I take drugs, but no, let's just move on. He actually said, let's move on. As in, he is the judge and juror of his own case. The entitlement of these dickheads. I mean, firstly, the coach wasn't there because he couldn't take any responsibility himself. I don't know if he was like banging the buffet or whatever he was doing, but he was not there. And now he wasn't even there after the match. So all this happens. Everyone's like, you can't be serious. Then, because it's happening in Australia, South Africa's afternoon, Australia then wakes up to the news of this. The Prime Minister is so outraged, he says these guys must now be stood down. The CEO of Cricket Australia has to take a press conference, and he sounds like a man who just literally crapped his pants. He was quivering. The reporters are going hard at him. They've all now flown over here. Next morning happens, David Warner, vice-captain, Steve Smith, the captain, gets stood down as captain, vice-captain, which means that Tim Payne was given the horrible job of captaining these these cheats. Anyway, we all know, in the cricket sense, that Morne Morkel bowled bloody well. The Aussies were rolled out, 10 wickets for 50 runs in the final session. They lost by 332 runs. Biggest win for South Africa over Australia since readmission. Really was just so, so incredible. But you've got to think that this story is only going to get bigger. This test series has been great for so many different things. I mean, we've seen, it's been the biggest unifier sport-wise, I think, since 1995, when Francois Pienaar had his shorts around his armpits with Nelson Mandela in that trophy. This is amazing for sport. It's amazing for South Africa. But we've got to look at the darker side. Steve Smith is in massive trouble here. Huge trouble. This guy's going to be giving hand jobs in Hobart pretty soon.
Oh, my
There's goodness. Nothing more his career can really do. No one trusts him. Australia hates him. And he has been a confirmed cheat. So the ICC, with Dave Richardson, the biggest yes man since Fikile Mbalula, basically, he'll hide behind protocol and go, well, we'll take a long, hard look at ourselves. And blah, blah. So they've given them the slap on the wrist ban. Steve Smith won't play at the Wanderers. He's been given a one-match ban, and he lost 100% of his match fee. Wow, that's nothing. Bancroft, the guy who actually did the cheating, who's basically been thrown under the bus here, well, he was given 3 demerit points. Sounds so childish, demerit points.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what you get at school.
And he was fined 70% of his thing. So Bancroft took the game into disrepute, sent it into disrepute, call it what you want, and he's still going to play the next match. These dickheads wanted to literally, like, banish Kagiso Rabada out of cricket because he brushed shoulders with dickhead Steve Smith. So I know this whole system is stupid because people are going to say, oh yeah, but Rabada had past offences. Yeah, okay, fair enough. But those past offences were stupid as well, the greater scheme of things. He has never willingly wanted to ruin the game of cricket and cheat, yet here was a guy who was being just made to feel like an absolute criminal. Meanwhile, the Aussies, well, historically, they are criminals, but no surprise. But the Australian public is probably as outraged about all of this as the South Africans are. Probably actually more so. Most of the South Africans find this is one big joke, and they just can't help but find that they can just have more fire against them. The Aussies, though, it's a tough time. Steve Smith's going to go home, and he'll probably have excrement thrown on some of his vehicles or home or property. This guy has got a tough time ahead of him. So he can laugh it up all he wants now. His life right now is basically like
it's hell.
It's gone down. It's not going to come back up.
Okay, sure.
And that's just the short of it, Gareth. There'll be a lot more around this week. And, of course, the Proteas will take on Australia at the Wanderers without Steve Smith. And that'll be from this Friday, Good Friday, first day. Got to get there. Get your tickets. For as little as 150 rand, you can get a grandstand seat at the Wanderers to celebrate our champion team. And rather do that than go there just to, like, hurl abuse at Australians. I'm not saying don't hurl abuse at Australians, because in your nature to do so, fair enough. The Aussies do it to the Proteas all the time. But go there also to cheer on the Proteas. These guys are, they've really turned it around. I mean, they were given an absolute dicking in Durban. Sound of a novel. They were giving an absolute dicking in Durban, and everyone was like, oh well, we'll never come close to beating the Aussies. The fact that Aussies had to cheat just showed you how much the Proteas have improved. They really have. And of course, the whole Indian debacle. The Proteas cricket was not good not so long ago, and here they are, absolutely stuffing the Aussies. Stuffing them. Well, I'm stuffed already. I mean, I've been binging out and all this stuff the whole weekend. England are trying so hard to hold on against New Zealand in the other test match that got played over the weekend. And let's be honest, everyone's forgotten that England were bowled out for 58. This was the biggest crime of all. The Aussies couldn't even enjoy the English getting absolutely gutted in New Zealand because they had to worry about their captain cheating. How very dreadful. There was rugby over the weekend, apparently. The results are here somewhere. The Lions, they went to the Hagawalith and they lost again. 49-35. They just don't even bother going, the Lions. You guys don't care about this match. You never win it anyway. The Stormers, they took on the Reds at Newlands. 25-19, they won that one. But the Reds were playing like a bunch of dicks. They were exchanging cheap shots and trying to injure the players. Robbie Fleck was outraged by all of this. He really was outraged. Hurricanes versus the Highlanders. There's the big New Zealand derby for the weekend. 29-12, the Hurricanes winning that one. The Sunbulls got thrashed by the Chiefs at home. And the Rebels, they added to the misery of the Sharks season so far. The Rebels winning that one 46-14. And Crusaders predictably winning 33-14 against the Bulls. Bubba Watson, he's suddenly become a golfer again. He beat Kevin Kisner 7-6 in the final of the Dell Technologies World Match Play. To think Bubba was messing around with those pink balls, and now he's gone back to being an absolute golfer, and he's won twice now in the lead-up to the Masters. And, of course, he's won the Masters twice as well. Very exciting time for golf because everyone is kind of firing, but the way Bubba just blitzed everyone this week really was quite a show. There wasn't really any sort of football to report back on, Gareth. There was mostly international friendlies. Bafana Bafana were doing the business in Zambia in some four-team tournament. They beat Angola on penalties as well. But that's pretty much it for the sport. I'm going to simmer down and let all this dust around Sandpaper Gate settle, and I'll try to provide some more content for you through the week. But if you did miss out on what was happening over the weekend, well, let's just take a week off, because that's how much happened over this test match.
All right, Ben, thank you very much. Whew. It's a lot to think about. All right, before we get stuck into Said by Sia and all the rest of it, we've got to speak to Selego Tsatsi, who's here with me at the moment. We're going to talk about your money. It's the money shot. And Anthea's birthday yesterday, so she's not even around, right, Selego?
Yes, nice morning. Yeah, I'll be standing in for
that's good. We like seeing you, man.
I believe she's in Cape Town, so yeah, happy belated to her.
Good. So, first of all, we've got to talk about the fact that this is the worst week since 2016 on the stock market, right?
Yeah, it was a bit of a choppy week. So the U.S. stock market was down about 6%, and that's broadly what was experienced kind of globally. The driver behind that seems to be fears over a trade war between the U.S. and China. So the U.S. announced, the Trump administration announced last week that they're going to impose tariffs on about $50 billion worth of Chinese imports. And then the Chinese announced on Friday they'd retaliate potentially by imposing tariffs on $3 billion worth of American imports. And so it just seems like the first round of a potentially long and destabilizing trade war between the two.
Good heavens.
Yeah.
That would be bad for everybody, right?
Exactly. And, yeah. I mean, they're by far the two biggest economies, and they're at such a size now where when those two sneeze, we all catch a cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, let's hope that that doesn't turn into a trade war, and let's hope that the stock market can recover a little bit because we were doing so well.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this is mostly around steel and aluminium, right?
So this is actually separate from that. This is in addition to those tariffs. This latest announcement is it's because the U.S. perceives China to have infringed upon and basically engaged in intellectual property theft. So the tariffs would be on a range of goods, consumer goods, electronics, tennis balls, kind of just a range of goods. But it's not just steel and aluminium. That's kind of separate, yeah.
All right, because I heard about that, and I heard, you know, Trump is suddenly getting very vocal about the American steel industry.
Yeah, and China was quite clever. They, in their retaliation or their potential retaliation, they looked at what goods are important to, I guess, swing states in the U.S. And then they said, okay, how can we... So the $3 billion value, it's pretty small in comparison to the $50 billion value that Americans are targeting. But politically, it's very sensitive goods such as soybeans.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. I'm going after very particular people here.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just talk about Facebook because I mentioned this already. And they really are having the worst time at the moment.
Yeah.
And probably deserve to be because Cambridge Analytica, they obviously gave out all this information, and people have been building databases on, what, 3 billion users or something? It's just scary. I mean, this is obviously very bad news for Zuckerberg's personal fortune.
Yeah.
But it's also bad news for a lot of tech stocks.
Yeah, so the tech sector got hit kind of on the back of this. Facebook lost about $50 billion of market cap or value this past week on the back of this this controversy. It went from about $530 billion market cap to $480. Hmm. So, I mean, Zuckerberg's still doing fine.
He's not begging on the street corner.
Yeah. But I'm actually very curious about this, because if you look at Facebook, it's not just Facebook, the platform. They also own Instagram, WhatsApp,
right.
And then Oculus, their virtual reality company. And so I guess as investors looking just from a purely financial standpoint, you have to ask, are people going to leave Instagram in droves?
Yeah.
Or WhatsApp in
droves?
You
see, someone will say, oh, no, I'm going to leave Facebook, but they won't leave all of the others. They won't stop using WhatsApp.
Yeah. And, I mean, Facebook's gotten so big now that even if you leave one of their platforms,
You're still on another.
You're probably going to be on another.
All right.
They have us captive.
Yeah. I mean, Elon...
The Elon Musk thing. I mean, that was something that happened this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great example. So he deleted the SpaceX and Tesla Facebook pages, but he still got his personal Instagram page up.
Right.
I mean, is he going to delete that as well? You have to ask, how far is it going to go?
Regulation is what a lot of people also think needs to be taken into account here. Now, I'm always very, very nervous about regulation. The minute you get government involved and they start making rules for everybody, it becomes messy. And in the market, the less regulation you have, usually the better.
Yes, and ironically, regulation might actually help Facebook. In the sense that they're now the biggest player in the social networking space. And so for a newcomer to try and compete with them will be difficult if you had additional regulation, because Facebook can quite easily handle those extra costs.
Yeah.
But a new player, you wouldn't know, a startup, it becomes tougher to compete.
So in other words, it entrenches their position as the big gorilla in the room.
Exactly.
Right. All right. Well, I don't know if people are going to stop using Instagram and WhatsApp as well as Facebook, but we'll have to wait and see. Dropbox.
Yes, we also had a Dropbox IPO last week.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're listing?
Yes, so they listed. They're currently not making any money, so they made about $100 million loss on $1 billion of revenue. But the market seems to view it as a growth stock, so they're looking at what they could make kind of 3, 5, 10 years down the line. It's valued at about $12
billion. Is that like the Dropbox I use on my laptop and transfer files to my phone or my home computer or any of that stuff? Is that it?
Yeah, it's that Dropbox. So their biggest segment of customers are businesses rather than individuals. And then they're competing with the likes of Google or Alphabet, Amazon, Microsoft. I think I'd prefer Alphabet or the Google parent company, just because you're not betting on one player. You've got, you know, YouTube, all the Google properties, Google Finance, Gmail, etc. But I think Dropbox is an interesting company to watch.
All right. Well, that's a good one to know. And then let's just have a look here, because there's Naspers is back in the news again.
Yes. So they had quite a major announcement last week that they'd be selling 2% of their stake in Tencent.
Why would they do that? Do they need money?
So they alleged, or their rationale that they gave publicly, is that they want to shore up their balance sheet. And yes, basically they want to raise some funds for the businesses they have outside of Tencent.
Okay, the ones that aren't making money.
Yes. But some
like multi-choice.
Yes. And some analysts are speculating that really they're taking a view on the valuation of Tencent. So they're looking at the share price of Tencent. They're saying, hey, this is kind of, you know, maybe not expensive, but it's fully valued. Let's take some off the top.
Sell while you're at the top.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah, I think.
But do they have to block some holes in their balance sheet at the moment? Is that part of the problem?
So that's why it's a bit confusing because they've got essentially no debt on the balance sheet at the moment. So it's, you look at the rationale they give and it doesn't quite add up.
Doesn't make sense.
In addition to that, they've said they won't sell any more Tencent shares for 3 years, which I think is quite disappointing for investors who had been hoping that, you know, that could be a potential way for them to unlock the discount that Naspers trades at.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, they took a hit. They took a 9% hit for the week, right?
Yeah, they would. Naspers was down 9%. Tencent was down 10%. Tencent actually reported a pretty good set of results last week, but I think they got hit along with the broader market.
Now, while Jacob Zuma was the president, we were on tenterhooks every time this happened, and now Cyril's in. We're not so concerned anymore. Moody's decided not to downgrade South Africa.
Yeah, so this is an awesome bit of news for the country. They've decided to keep us one notch above junk status.
Oh, that's so sweet of them. Not nice.
Very sweet, and investment grade. And they've also changed the outlook to stable. This is obviously hugely positive from a financial standpoint for us as a country. Our bond market should rally, which should bring interest rates down a bit. It gives the Reserve Bank the ability to cut interest rates a bit more, which is, you know, a relief for consumers. And the currency should strengthen on the back of this as well.
It sounds very good. All right. I like it. I like the sound of that. So, Leho, you've got good news and bad news for us this morning.
Yeah, yeah, a mixture.
All right, plenty to think about. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Very good, Selejo Tsatsi, and Anthea will be back next Monday for those people who love Anthea, but Selejo's information is as good, so you have no reason to doubt that this is useful stuff. You can plug that into the beginning of your week. All right, Sia, what do you got for us in Said by Sia this morning?
Let's feel good about ourselves this morning, folks.
I don't think anyone's going to complain about that. Go on.
Exactly. This morning, I just want to shine a light on a young lady who I think is doing something so simple, but really just brings a simple smile to these people's faces. Her name is Courtney Appleton, and I think she has really brought about and thought of this idea.
Who's Courtney Appleton?
It just proves that she has a big heart. She's a baker by day, and she actually has a full-time job. And it was just one day where she realized that birthday come about, and you know, she and her friends and her family can celebrate their birthdays in a special way. And she then started thinking about people in old age homes and kids in orphanages, and she thought about, well, their birthdays aren't exactly that special if they're just another number on a list. And so it's not about going out there and making massive changes, but she thought, I'm a baker, what can I do to just brighten up their days? So she started an organization, not even an organization, just a simple Facebook group called Let Them Eat Cake. And this is just a group of people who say, look, we have a list of orphanages and old age homes on our databases. Here are these people's birthdays. And so if you want to contribute, how about on these specific days you come with us and you bring along a cake just for Gareth or Ben's birthday at the old age home or an orphanage? And I think it's
Ben's birthday at the old age home. That's going to be a sentence soon.
Because Ben will be grumpy and all alone. And so Courtney Appleton understands this and wants to brighten your day.
How about screw you, sir?
It's an analogy. I didn't say you specifically, Ben.
You looked me in the eyes and you said
I used an example because you are in this room. Back to Courtney. What she does especially is the fact that she creates a personalized cake. So whatever you're into, whatever, if a kid is into Spider-Man these days, she and her group are able to band together, and for their special day, they'll bake a cake for these kids. So I think it's awesome. It's a little Facebook group. It's called Let Them Eat Cake. And you can sign up either as a volunteer, or you can sign up and you see all of their different events as they go to visit. For example, they support Nazareth House here in Johannesburg every month, and they do one big cake drive at the end of the month, and that just simply means getting 5 cakes on the last weekend of the month for the 130 residents there. So it's these simple things you realize that we take for granted. Our birthday rolls around, and sometimes we're just so wrapped up by the fact and the idea that we're getting older that we just miss the special moments. And here she is, Courtney, saying, let's just spread a little sparkle and shine to some people who need it most. So I think it's awesome. So kudos to you, Courtney Appleton, with Let Them Eat Cake.
All right. That's very nice.
Simple, easy.
Yeah, terrific.
And nice.
All right, Courtney. Nice job. Okay, when we come back in a moment or two, we're going to check in on the news stories. We're going to have some people pop by, and we've got a busy Monday morning planned for you. So if you want to know more, stick around. It's all coming your way, whether you are ready for it or not. Brace yourself. It's coming. All right? There, that's how it works.
This is CliffCentral.com.